Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Cardinal baseball at 11:45. We begin hour number two with this spring training report.
I'm Tom Ackerman. This spring training report from Jupiter, Florida is sponsored by American Eagle Credit Union, your hometown home loan provider, and by Wilkie Window and Door, the Anderson Window and Door Specialist. A lot of things to tell you about as the Cardinals play their final spring training game here in Jupiter today. The Cardinals and the Marlins at 11:45 on KMOX. Matt Carpenter is going to lead off and play third base. He'll get at least one at bat today. They're trying to get him back as his back tightened up on him last week. Things are looking a lot better for Matt Carpenter, not so much for Jed Jerko, and they expect to announce something about Jerko's status at the end of the game today. It does appear more and more likely that he will start the season on the injured list. The rotation has been set. It is going to look like this: Miles Michaelis, Jack Flaherty, then Dakota Hudson, Michael Wacha, and Adam Wainwright, the five-man rotation, which means Flaherty starts the home opener. And John Brebbia has made this team. He has made the bullpen. The Cardinals are going to go with one lefty in their pen. That will be Andrew Miller. The Cardinals and the Marlins this afternoon, 11:45 pregame, 12:05 first pitch. Then we are on our way to Memphis, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night from AutoZone Park as the Cardinals play the Redbirds. I'm Tom Ackerman in Jupiter on the home of the best Cardinals coverage, KMOX.
Coming up a little bit later, we'll hear Tom's conversation with Bill DeWitt. 11:30, we'll visit with John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. Coming up on April the 15th, which is a Monday at 5:45 in the downtown clubhouse, it'll be the second time that the MAC has hosted the College Basketball, United States Basketball Writers Association Awards Dinner. During that awards banquet, the Oscar Robertson Player of the Year will be awarded. The Henry Iba Coach of the Year will be awarded, and also the Wayman Tisdale Award will go for the Freshman of the Year. There's also another award that we'll talk about here momentarily as we say good morning to Kevin Cantwell, the chairman of the awards dinner and the president-elect at the MAC. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Michael, and good morning.
Well, good morning. It's great to talk to you. You're also going to showcase women's basketball coming up on April the 15th.
Yeah, we expanded this year, and the Ann Meyer Drysdale National Player of the Year will be an award that we will add to the event this year to obviously celebrate the finest female basketball player in the country. So she'll be here, and it'll be a great event.
Yeah, who are some of the other luminaries from the sport of basketball that will be there?
Well, you know, we've the biggest luminary that we're hoping will be one of the two players from Duke, R.J. Barrett or Zion Williamson. We've already contacted Duke. Those are two of the four finalists for the Player of the Year and also for the Freshman of the Year. And we contacted Duke, and they said, you know, if one of their players were fortunate enough to win one of these awards, they'll be in St. Louis on April 15th.
Who were the finalists for the Coach of the Year award?
The Coach of the Year, we have Rick Barnes from Tennessee, Texas Tech's Chris Beard,
right.
Tony Bennett again. And for the people who were there last year, Tony Bennett was outstanding when he gave his talk last year as a recipient, but he's back up again this year. Mark Few from Gonzaga, Matt Painter from Purdue, I think I said that already, Kelvin Sampson from Houston, Mike Young from Wofford. I don't know if you saw that game yesterday, but that coach, you know, he's up for it. And so we should know on March 25th, I think it's going to be tomorrow, we get the announcement for the Coach of the Year. Following day, we'll get the Freshman of the Year, and then the Player of the Year will be announced the Friday of the Final Four. And, you know, the event, as you said earlier, is going to be held April 15th. You know, it's kind of the culmination of the collegiate basketball season. Will be held here in St. Louis. It's 1 week after the national championship game, which is on April the 8th. So all eyes will be on St. Louis. All the featured players, great names from this year, will be sitting downtown at the Missouri Athletic Club in the Missouri Room. And like last year, It'll be a tremendous event. You know, I think we have one of the finest MCs in the country who will be guiding us that night. His name is Michael Kelly.
And, we also have another
KMOX personality, Tom Ackerman. Tom will do there's a question and answer segment with the award recipients that Tom will do. So it's nice to have the key people from KMOX tied into this event. But as you know from last year, it was a sellout. It is a sellout again this year. 400 people will be in the room. We've already had this event sold out. The only thing that, you know, the only thing that I still have open is a $15,000 sponsorship. But other than that, it'll be an exciting evening at the Missouri Athletic Club.
And what does that sponsorship entail?
The sponsorship is obviously a table for 10 VIP treatment, and then meeting with the individual award winners, signed basketball, and a lot of props. You know, the Basketball Writers Association dinner this year is sponsored by Tom Lang Company, and then they've been a tremendous supporter of this in the past, and will continue their support. And like I said, it's an amazing night at the Missouri Athletic Club. Like I said, all eyes in the country are downtown looking at these award recipients.
And once again, your membership supports a great cause.
Well, this is for the foundation. So we have three foundations. One's preservation, which is the historical building. Arts, obviously, we have tremendous artwork at the Missouri Athletic Club, but then outreach into the community for art programs. And then the final one is the Sports Foundation. And the Sports Foundation helps support quite a few initiatives in the St. Louis community. A simple, easy one is Hoops for Habitat. When new homes are built, our Sports Foundation and club members rally around those individuals, and we'll put in a concrete pad and a basketball hoop and give them some balls and go meet with the kids and, go play some basketball with them, start that next generation. So a lot of outreach, a lot of youth programs that the foundation supports throughout the community.
Kevin, thank you for your efforts. I appreciate it, and thanks for your time today.
Hey, Mike, thank you. Thank you for all you do for St. Louis. Thanks for helping us out, and I'll be talking to you.
Yes, sir. That is Kevin Cantwell, president-elect at the MAC and also the chairman of the MAC's College Basketball Awards Dinner, which will take place on April the 15th downtown. And again, one sponsorship slot still available. You can contact the MAC for more information. Take a break. We're back after this on Sports on a Sunday on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports on a Sunday morning.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Limburg.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, the Cardinals made it official yesterday with the news conference that Paul Goldschmidt was locked up until 2024. Tom Ackerman was there.
Cardinals Chairman Bill DeWitt Jr. with us on a big day in Cardinals history. It's the biggest contract the Cardinals have ever had, but I can see the smile on everybody's faces. That seems like quite the investment. Paul Goldschmidt for 5 additional years.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. He's been a great player, and he's a great teammate, and really happy to have him locked up for, you know, hopefully the balance of his career, but certainly for the next 6 years.
You didn't even have to throw a home opener at him.
No. Usually we get a player and the fans take over and do the rest for us, but he was happy to do it, and sign in spring training and take the distraction of the season away. So,
take us back to the time that you first heard that he was available via trade and started to pursue him.
We're very hopeful that we could sign him and or acquire him, first of all. And we gave up a lot of talent, but we got a lot of talent back. And he was a piece that we thought would really make our lineup with fixture at first base, move Karp over to third, and have a very deep lineup. So, and the goal is always to get a player like that at his age to re-sign him and have continuity. And we've been fortunate over the years to be able to do it. So wasn't sure what happened in spring training or during the season or at the end of the season, but you know, when he was ready, we were ready, and it just worked out.
How much of the human element is in play here when you're looking at acquiring and extending a player? He is more than what he does on the field, isn't he?
He really is. You can tell the respect that teammates have for him, and how highly regarded he was when he came to us. I had writers from other cities contact me and tell me how great he was as a person, and what he meant to the community, and the effort he put into playing all aspects of the game, not just as a hitter, certainly not one-dimensional. He's won gold gloves, silver sluggers, and excellent base runner, one of the best base runners in the game. He still just worked at his craft, all aspects of it. He's a complete player, excellent player, all-star player, MVP candidate every year, and a super guy. So, you know, he's got the whole package.
It sounds like, a little bit like, one of your former first basemen who had those qualities.
Well, Albert was certainly all of that, and, you know, was a great player for us. And then Karp took over, and, you know, he's been a wonderful player for us as well. And you look back in history at the great first baseman we've had, as I mentioned in the press conference there, Hall of Famers, MVPs, All-Stars, up and down the line, a lot of them. So, you know, he fits the bill, and he'll be a fixture there. And he plays every day, too. I mean, you know, he's not like a 130-game guy. You can never predict injuries, but, you know, he's just he's a gamer, and he plays to win, and, you know, he's what we're looking for.
Well, a couple quick things left for you. I remember sitting next to you when Dakota Hudson made his spring training debut. You tapped me on the arm, and we looked at him, and I know he's a big piece of your future. Is that one of the more significant developments here in spring training, that he joins your rotation?
I think it's great that he did so well, that Schulte has confidence in him as a starter, because he's a big talent. He was a pitcher of the year in the Florida State League, or not Florida State League, but in Texas League, mm-hmm. and then in down at Memphis, the International League, so Pacific Coast League. But so Double A, Triple A, pitcher of the year, and great stuff, and great competitor, and, you know, he's everything we could ask for when we drafted him, and looking forward to big things out of Dakota.
What else happened in spring training? Just the last thing. What is the Bill DeWitt Jr. outlook for this team based on what you saw down here that makes you feel good about this club?
I think we're just a very solid club. We've got a much improved defense. With Goldie at first, it makes our infield much better, and Karp's a nice third baseman. Of course, DeYoung had a good year at short, and Colton's a gold glove candidate. So we've got a good infield defense. Got Harrison Bader in center, who's one of the best center fielders in the game. And, you know, got guys who can play the corners well. So Ozuna won a gold glove out there in left field, and silver slugger. So, we've got a really good defensive club compared to some of the years in the past. And Schulte's put a big emphasis on fundamentals. So I like the nature of our club, that it's not only talented, but it's sound and, you know, should be a solid Cardinal-type club.
All that's left now is to get to Milwaukee and get this thing going.
Well, that'll be an exciting day, opening day. It always is. And hopefully we'll do well up there and play well on the road and come back home and show our fans what we've got.
And see all those red jackets. It's going to be something else. We appreciate it, as always. Bill DeWitt Jr., the Cardinals chairman, with us on KMOX and the Cardinals Radio Network. Have a great season.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be with you.
Tom Ackerman on KMOX, and 22 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Cardinal baseball coming up at 11:45. Earlier today, Mike Shildt met with the media at Jupiter.
Yeah, John Brevi will be in our bullpen. Yeah, and it was obviously a great competition. But, you know, end of the day, we looked up, and Brev was the guy that we want to take. And there's nothing against Tyler Webb. We sat down with Tyler and yesterday and talked to him, and, you know, he had the eye of the tiger this game. He came in on a mission, had a real clear plan, took advantage of the off season, and he was locked in all spring, you know, found the zone, making pitches, and just in the day, you know, we felt like Brevia was the best option to start.
What are his best strengths?
Brevia?
Yeah, pounding the zone.
Yeah, at those strikes. You know, he can throw in short relief, mid relief, and also could be available throwing a little bit longer relief. So, versatile guy that you know, has the ability to throw strikes and you know, doesn't make the situation, regardless of what it is, bigger than it is. So a lot of positive qualities.
Outside of then, Mike, when you look at lefty situations and outside of Miller, you know, how do you look at that situation?
Looked at it closely, Dan, you know, and something that we obviously want to be aware of, but we feel comfortable in the fact. That's why, you know, we got Miller, obviously, and I feel like Reyes's pitches and Hicks's pitches will work against any combination, right or left. And then, you know, Leone's had success against lefties. And then also, you know, John Gant's got a starter repertoire, and that's why we're not going to pigeonhole him as the long guy. You know, we'll put him in the spots that allow him to be successful as well. And so we've got a group of guys that we feel comfortable and confident in. Mike Myers, you know, can throw, but all those guys have the ability to throw, you know, against the lefties as well. So it's really about the way we viewed it, the best chance of getting outs.
Sure. Given that, and then Jerko's probably injured, but that would be your roster then, right? Pretty much.
Or, correct.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So you're going to talk about Jerko officially after the game then?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to reveal your starting pitching plans for Milwaukee?
Yes, I am. We'll go with yourself.
Beat you.
Yeah.
I was waiting.
I was too. You gave him.
I gave
pretty
you
much. Yep.
Yes.
Half step behind.
Yeah, that's okay. Obviously, Miles will be the home, the starter on the, you know, home the opening day, and then you'll have Jack, then we'll have Dakota, and then Waka, and then Wainwright, and we'll go from there. Which does put Jack as our opening day starter at home.
Any particular reason why Wainwright became what, fifth and Baca fourth? Hudson's just been good enough to be where he is.
Yeah, Hudson's good enough to where he is. And the way the days line up, we can be creative with what that looks like with some of those days off after that.
What do you mean by that?
We'll see. we'll take it as we go. Yeah.
I don't think Memphis ever announced who's pitching for which team tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we're still – I want to get it right.
Okay.
So defer. There's a friendly going back and forth, so I want to make sure we got a landing spot for it. But we know Waino and Waka will be going head-to-head. It'll be fun. And a fair amount of our relievers will be in on both sides too.
There are different schools of thought when it comes to what to break camp with, and you've talked about opening day isn't always, you know, what's best for it. But it seems like with the way this roster's coming together that it values competing from the jump, as opposed to, you know, maybe doing things that give you more time, more flexibility. Is that something that you pushed for in your conversations about the roster, is let's take the guys who give us the best chance from day one, as opposed to maybe the guys who, you know, give us more time for flexibility later in the season?
Yeah, I think we made it pretty clear that we want to, you know, start off with our best club and what that looks like for the competition against ourselves next Thursday. Is this really the Cardinals versus the Cardinals? We respect our opponent, but we play to our own standard. So we feel like we put together the club that's best representative of that.
Mike, you spent a lot of time in the city of Memphis. What does it mean to you to get back there and to have this showcase for them?
No, it's great. Memphis is a great town. They've done obviously well on the field the last 2 years with back-to-back PCL championships. They're very well run, and it's a great city, so we're looking forward to getting back.
How does the visiting manager's office look there anyway? You're going to have to take a look at that tomorrow.
Yeah, right? I'll see what that looks like. I'll see what it looks like.
They have one, right?
Okay. I would hope so. Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah, I'm sure they do. Yeah, it's a nice ballpark. Anybody good?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Cardinals manager Mike Schilt meeting with members of the media earlier today in Jupiter. I'm Mike Kelly. It is 27 after 11. John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, joins me next on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Driven by the Bomarito Automotive Group, the voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports on a Sunday morning. Munganass St. Louis Mitsubishi on South Limburg on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
1129 in St. Louis. I'm Mike Kelly. This is Sports on a Sunday. Cardinal baseball coming up from Florida. The last game in Jupiter against the Marlins taking place. Our pregame coverage with Mike and John at 1145. We say good morning to the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. How are you, Mo?
I'm doing well, thank you. Good morning.
Well, congratulations on a very productive Saturday.
Yeah, obviously it was exciting news for us, and more importantly, just to get that done. You know, certainly we could have gone into the season, but having something like that linger could become a distraction, and it might become a discussion point, you know, sort of week in and week out. So, you know, obviously there was a mutual desire to get something done, and, you know, I'm just happy we ended up where we did.
Did it surprise you that you know, he was anxious to go ahead and get moving as soon as possible during that casual conversation in which you were sipping your coffee?
You know, I wouldn't say surprised. I just didn't really know. Yeah. You know, someone was asking me the other day about, like, sort of how these things go. And, you know, I think back to, like, my relationship with Scott Rolen during that negotiation or, you know, Matt Holliday. And in both cases, I knew them, you know, more than I know Paul. And so, in this particular case, I just didn't want to do something that put us on the wrong foot. And you know, certainly everything had gone fairly splendidly since the acquisition, and there was a good vibe. And so I really wanted him to sort of direct the direction he wanted this to move. And so that was the point of that conversation that day. And, you know, when you say surprised, what I was encouraged. And that allowed us to begin dialogue, and subsequently, a few weeks later, here we are. And I think it's great news for the organization. I know he's excited, and, you know, I like what he said yesterday. This is about winning. This is about, you know, doing something special. And you know, I think when you have players that believe in that and want to see that happen, it puts you in a pretty good spot.
Two other extensions were announced yesterday around Major League Baseball, including Chris Sale. As you look at the change, I guess, if you will, in the wind, between 15 and 18, there were 21 spring training extensions announced. There have been 17 already this year. Why do you think the change is happening?
Well, I think first off, it's a compliment to people's organizations because it means players are finding a desire to want to stay someplace. And I think in a lot of ways that's good for baseball.
Absolutely.
You know, when you think about sort of past errors where it became very transient and people are always on the move, I think it's somewhat nice that you're seeing star players want to stay a part of something and be a part of it from start to finish. So, you know, I think it's positive. I think, you know, we've always been, you know, a team that's tried to extend their players and give them that first bite of the apple, and then, you know, hopefully subsequently, you know, bites later. But, you know, it's something I think, you know, as people were the skies falling in a month and a half ago, I think people now are realizing, yeah, it might just be a new norm.
Evaluate the first spring training that Mike Shildt had a chance to run as the Cardinals manager.
Well, I think it's been very impressive. You would expect me to say nothing less. I think the real takeaway here is just how he has sort of built this camp up to more of a crescendo and trying to get us to when Thursday comes, this team is ready. And, you know, I feel like the way he's had the ebb and flow of his lineup, the way he is expected what type of work he wants from those individuals to improve upon their skill sets has been just fun to watch. It's been very strategic, very intentional, and when you sit in my seat, it's very welcoming.
Yeah. All right, so some news that's come out the last couple of days, obviously, as the roster is taking shape, Matt Wieters has made the team.
Yeah. You know, I think it's not really a surprise. I mean, unfortunately, in Francisco Pena's case, you know, he just didn't play much, and it's very hard to sort of make those types of decisions. I do think having someone that hits from the left side is a nice weapon to have on your roster. So, you know, as you saw that happening, I think, you know, having someone with his resume, you know, made sense. And, you know, someone asked me, like, well, you know, was this a big deal? And I said, well, it wasn't a big deal, but it was a deal that ultimately back in November, December, when we were searching for a backup catcher, we could have never envisioned. So, you know, I think, you know, how the market played out benefited us in this particular case. And, you know, it looks like a nice addition for us.
John Brebbia has made the team as well, which was announced by Mike Shildt a little earlier this morning.
Yeah. So Breb, you know, he had a nice camp. I think when you're looking at how the roster shakes out, I think, you know, clearly the most important thing you got to do with these, like, last decisions is have some people that give you the flexibility. Uh-huh. And the one thing I like about our bullpen is you know, it's not one dimensional. I think we have a lot of flexibility built into it in terms of left, right, and our right handers, especially when you look at the back end of that, I think are fairly dynamic in the sense of I don't think they fear a left hand hitter.
Exactly. Give me a thought on what you saw from Alex Reyes this spring.
Well, you know, I will be when I answer that, I want to say that I was a bit nervous. You know, two reasons. One, I was just very hopeful that he'd be healthy, and two, I just thought, you know, would he be able to knock the rust off? And I don't know if that's even the right phrase, but meaning that here's a guy that just hasn't pitched a whole lot in 2 years. What are we going to see? And I think early on in camp, I was a little bit concerned of command or control even of the strike zone. I think as he's gotten to the point where he's at today, I think there's a lot of confidence in what you're seeing out of him. And perhaps most importantly, he's confident. And so, you know, when you look at just pure stuff, it's there. But, you know, stuff alone doesn't get people out. You've got to be able to work up and down in that strike zone, in and out. And the last few outings, there's been a lot of positives out of him, and I think that's exciting.
From your vantage point, John, what was, if you will, the most significant development throughout the course of the spring? Was it Hudson basically jumping forward and saying the third spot in the rotation is mine?
Wow, great observation. I was just talking to some people about that. I think there were a lot of questions on who was going to end up getting that fifth spot, and there's always sort of like, well, someone will get it because you need it, but he earned it, mm-hmm. and or won it, however you want to think about it. So that was really impressive. And, you know, I just think when you watched him yesterday, he did exactly what you'd expect him to do. You know, he's starting to get more swing and misses, which is good, and that means that breaking ball's coming along. And the other part is when he does get a runner on, your confidence of him getting a ground ball to follow that is really high. So that was great to see. And I would also say, too, a healthy Ozuna mm-hmm. is, I think, you know, our fans are going to see someone that we didn't see last year.
Michaelis, Flaherty, Hudson, Waka, and Waino. Michaelis gets the start to begin the season. In Milwaukee, that means Flaherty will get the start in the home opener coming up in just a little bit of time. It's amazing that it is upon us. What are you going to do with Jerko?
Well, he will start the season on the IL, and I think, you know, this week we'll keep him down here where he can get at bats and get going. So he is cleared to do baseball activity, but as you can imagine, I mean, the timing and things you want to see worked on, that's what he needs to do. So it just makes the most sense for us to just do that, and then, you know, ultimately, then we can put our roster together.
And Karp will gets the start today and will lead off, right?
He does. I saw him this morning sipping coffee there, too. And, I mean, it was wee hours. It was like 6 a.m. or something. But he was like, I go, are you going to play today? He's like, absolutely. And so he feels pretty good about where he's at. Obviously, we're going to try to get him some at-bats, too, down here this week because it's just easier. And then hopefully he can join the club and start for us.
Let me end with this. Your biggest concern is this team breaks camp.
Boy, I hate that way to end on that. That's very negative.
Well, it's not negative. It's an observation from your – is it playing the game cleanly? Is it being sharper on the base path? Is it?
Yeah, I don't have a concern.
Okay.
And, you know, those narratives are in the past. I mean, this is a new team, it's been a new strategy, and I think just the overall excitement of how this group feels about themselves is going to be fun to watch.
You wanted to say that wasn't one of my better questions, and I would have been fine if you would have said that, by the way. So, anyway.
No, it's not for me to judge, but I just feel like here we are. It's, you know, spring's upon us. It's season's upon us, and there's a lot of excitement here. So
yeah.
For people that aren't here, they just have to believe me, and you know, hopefully we can get off on the right foot and get this thing moving.
Let's get it rolling. Have a safe trip to Memphis, and we'll see you soon. Thank you for your time
today.
That
sounds great. Thanks, Mike.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care. That is John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. Cardinals coming up in just a couple of minutes here on KMOX as the Redbirds will take on the Marlins' final game in Jupiter, and then it's off to Memphis to play – coming up on Monday before opening the season in Milwaukee. Hard to imagine that it is here, and it is baseball time. It's great to see, too. The Blues played last night, of course. The Blues won by the score of 4-3. And afterwards, members of the media had a chance to visit with some folks with the Blues. We'll pull something up for you here in just a second and have it for you here on KMOX. We talked with Craig Berube. Certainly enjoyed our conversation with the Blues interim head coach. He has done a terrific job with that team, and so we're anxious to see what happens as the Blues will play Vegas coming up tomorrow night. Here's Braden Schenn after the game.
You knew the game couldn't be over against that team.
Yeah, it wasn't over. They scored too many goals for them to not make a game of it. They're dangerous. All lines can score. Their D are active. You know, I think obviously they play hard. They make plays. Probably did a made their job a little bit easier, letting them back in that with their with that power play. You know, start the second period there. But Binner was great again tonight, making huge saves and fun atmosphere to be a part of.
What does a win like that feel like?
Yeah, it's huge. Huge for team confidence. You know, they're a very good team, playing great hockey, winning a lot of games, scoring a lot of goals. So for us to come in and beat them on, you know, two times this year obviously gives the team confidence, and we know we're a good team in here.
You get a sense the one you're able to score really just kind of halts their momentum there and just kind of take us through the decision to go between the legs there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I you know, my goal, I think I'll take it back even before that, where the penalty kill stepped up. It was a 3-2 hockey game, and you know, penalty kill killed off a penalty yet again. So then I was able to get the 4-2 goal. So special teams, especially the PK, was big today.
Have you tried that one before?
I was just hoping for the best. I don't know if I got hooked or I just rolled off my stick on the first one there. Haven't seen the replay yet, but yeah, I guess nice to score those goals.
They look like they tie it there, and then you get the replay challenge. That's got to be another good feeling there as you go from, oh no, they've tied it, to, oh, we're still ahead.
Yeah, great job by Sean Farrell, video coach. He knew right away, called it offside, so that's huge, and you know, we'll take breaks like that.
Does he get the Bobby Plager gloves tonight, Sean?
We should give him that, yeah, Sean. And actually, our massage guy's in there too, Steve Squire. So between the two of them, they were able to make the call.
Braden, why was this game so much different from the one you played down there? I mean, it seemed like down there, tight checking, 1-0, this one a lot more wide open.
Yeah, I mean, just the start, we were able to capitalize on some turnovers by them. You know, some mistakes that they made, got some bounces, obviously, too. You know, like I said, they still played a heck of a hockey, and they almost put 50 shots at goal. They're a tough team to, you know, to play against. They come at you in waves, and like I said, we were able to shut them down.
You were coming at them in waves. You guys get 3 goals in 75 seconds there. That's just cases where it just keeps building and building for you guys?
Yeah, I'm sure not. Hasn't probably happened too many times to them this year. Mm-hmm. 3 goals in 75 seconds. They're usually the team scoring lots of goals. But like I said, you know, everyone was solid tonight. You know, obviously we've had some ups and downs in that game, but, you know, it's a solid team effort. You don't beat a team like that without everyone.
I'm Mike Kelly. That does it for Sports on a Sunday. Cardinal baseball coming your way next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.